This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities' number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria and Zaretska, you know, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? Think Midway.com.
No. I don't think that. It's just minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Doug and Daddy Show Tuesday edition. Hope you had a great Memorial weekend. Took a little time off, whatever it was you were doing, working, enjoying time with the family, going to state track, any of the state events, or just maybe getting some fishing, some golfing, some yard work, some grilling, whatever it was. Hopefully all went well, and we're glad to have you back with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. Jim Langan's in with me on this Tuesday. We've got a great list of guests today and throughout the week as we head into this final week of May. Coming up in just a little while, we'll preview the last sporting event of the high school season. More on state golf with Randy Ahrens of Hastings St. Cecilia. They are down in Lincoln getting ready for tomorrow's first tee off. Everybody's got practice rounds today, and so Class C is down at Mahoney, Class A is at Holmes, Class B is at Indian Head in Grand Island, and Class D will be here at the Kearney Country Club. We'll also be talking with Dave Manerick of the Cornhusker State Games, the executive director. Kind of that early deadline is approaching. You save a little money, you get everything organized, get it taken care of, but we'll go over all the things they've got going on. And Phil Stanton from College Baseball Insider, the field of 64 is set for the college baseball run to Omaha and the road to Rosenblatt, well, not Rosenblatt, TD Ameritrade, and the College World Series. State track is over. Jack Sock, a winner at the French Open, the Lincoln natives. So quite a bit to touch on with NBA and NHL still going on. Jimmy, how are you, man?
Hey, really good, Doug. Yeah, there's a ton. A
lot of things going on. It all started right there with the Big Ten baseball tournament. Got to go see a couple of days of that last week. Nebraska puts on a really good showing, and I guess of all the things that are going on, that will probably be the lead today. As Nebraska baseball, for the first time since 2008, is back in the tournament, and the players showed some true disappointment by not being able to beat Indiana. They've been playing well, but they just didn't beat Indiana.
Yeah, Indiana dominated the Big Ten tournament, Doug, and they got a fourth overall seed because of it. You know, their dominance in that thing, I thought, was quite clear. And the University of Nebraska finished second in the tournament, but it wasn't like, you know, there was a run or two here that we could have gotten. You know, they talk about the hits, but I thought Nebraska won the close games they needed to get second, and second was about as good as they deserved. I thought we caught a break a little bit with the regional, with Oklahoma State being like the last number one seed. And when they pick the two seeds, a lot of times they do this by location. It wasn't like Nebraska definitely was the next team in line for a number one seed. They got to go to an area. And that's the way I felt about it. How about you, Doug? Is that how you saw it?
Yeah, there will be no easy road to Omaha. But the thing about, I guess the strange thing is you would think with Nebraska not being in the tournament since 2008, just about anybody they'd play would be unfamiliar. Well, that's not the case. They played Cal State Fullerton four times last year. They played Oklahoma State. And again, it's been 4 years since they've been in the Big 12 Conference. But there's some familiarity there. People know what it's like to go down to Oklahoma and play baseball there. And then if they happen to get through, you've got to figure if you're the number one national seed in Oregon State, you're going to be waiting on the other side of the Super Regional. And Nebraska has played them twice this year and split with them the first two weekends, two separate weekends, but won one and lost one. So maybe there's some confidence there, but they really should know a little bit about the teams that they're going to be playing.
Yeah, and, you know, I can't see Oregon State if that's who Nebraska would happen to play. And very likely they would be if they'll probably win that region. But, hey, like I said, that would be somebody that Nebraska could. And I like going and playing somebody that's north of us. You know, anybody north, I like in baseball, I like to play somebody that's north and not the south.
Well, I kind of thought when I saw Cal State Fullerton, I went, huh? I mean, that means that they're having a down year if they're a three seed.
Correct.
But, boy, I mean, this is like, you know, who do you want to pick having an off year? I mean, you could be playing just about anybody, UCLA, anybody, a Miami, a Florida, teams that have been there year after year after year after year after year. They know the routine. And as Coach Erstad said yesterday, they've won 7 or 8 here in a row at the end of the season to get qualified and to get in. They're warm, but Nebraska, I still think, is pretty hot. Can you believe that they are 25-6 over their last 31 ball games?
Yeah, that's something.
And two of those losses to Northwestern.
And they, you know what, Doug, too, excuse me, is how many come from behind, you know, one-run wins, too. Or even if they weren't come from behind, they were tied. You know, the game was tied and they needed a run late. So Nebraska has a lot of victories like that.
If you'd like to be a part of the program, 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776. You can always tweet us at ESPN 1460 1550, at ESPN 1460 1550. And, of course, the Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Let's take a look at our Midtown Mart cooler question. Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. Over the weekend, our poll question had to do with Landon Donovan being left off the World Cup U.S. soccer team. Did you agree with that? 46% yes, but 54% said no. They'd like to see Donovan on the team. Today's question, what Nebraska men's team will win a Big Ten title first? Football, basketball, baseball. Which one of those teams will be the first to win a Big Ten title? Well, Jimmy, I automatically throw out basketball because it ain't going to happen. It just didn't. I mean, I guess back in the day you could have said Kansas State was never going to win a conference football title too, but you're playing in maybe the toughest conference in the country. So I'll throw that out. So it comes down to football and baseball. And I guess I don't know which is easier. I mean, you can lose games in baseball and still win the title. I mean, Nebraska's record this year, kind of a lot of the time, would have been good enough to win a conference title. Back in the Big 12, probably good enough to win a title, but Indiana was just so dominant and they didn't play each other. What do you think? Who's going to get it first?
Yeah, I guess football. I mean, if I had to pick, I just think in the history of it and the way we recruit – and kind of what's going on right now, I'm going to say it's football. I do think that baseball possibly maybe isn't competitive, as competitive with the top 10 teams, where in football, I think the top 10 teams, I mean, we're looking at Ohio State, normally a Penn State. You know, you're looking at Michigan, Michigan State, Wisconsin. All these teams are always playing and have a chance for a national championship. That's not true in baseball. In baseball, very seldom do we have the teams I listed are in the hunt for a, you know, national championship. But Nebraska football has been in the hunt. You know, they played some games, but just haven't been very close, you know. But they're always right in the hunt. With the baseball, I thought this year, like you said, it was had a chance to win it. But with Indiana, the dominance of Indiana, I don't know if Indiana's going to fall off the radar much.
Well, I think both are in that top three.
Yes.
Baseball top three the entire conference. And then you got your divisions. So Nebraska should always be in the top two, maybe three. But then it's a one-game playoff. I'm going to take baseball. I think Nebraska can consistently be there, but I think baseball, just because after about the first four or five teams, I mean, you just shove the rest of them down right now. So I'll take that. Our Midtown Mark Cooler question, vote now at ESPNSuperstation.com. Speaking of baseball, Kearney Grand Island Legion Baseball, post 52 runs against USAVE and Tom Dinsdale, canceled. That will not be held tonight. Grand Island's just coming off the state baseball tournament, so they have just finished tryouts, and they at least want to get their team some work out here. So the late spring gives them a late start in the summer. No Kearney Grand Island baseball tonight. But it is looking like a beautiful week for golf. Even though it's dry, it's going to be warm. Hopefully the wind won't be too bad. And the Hastings St. Cecilia golf team is in Lincoln getting ready for the state tournament. Randy Aaron's taking a couple of minutes hiding out under a tree, I think, to talk to us today here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Doug Duda and Jimmy Langan. Randy, good morning. How are you?
Pretty good. Thanks. Thanks for having me on here this morning.
Well, congratulations. I mean, this St. Cecilia team, it's a downer if you guys never, if you take a year off, if you don't qualify in the districts, and you've got quite a domination going on there of qualifying for state, but it was a little tight this year.
Yeah, it was, and that was something that, just kind of in the game of golf, those people that have been out there golfing enough know that anything can happen on any given day, and so we're just fortunate enough that we qualified second in our districts and have a chance to play. And like I told the kids, good things can't happen if you're not there. So we're happy and we're lucky we're here this week.
What about the strength? I mean, as we look, I mean, it was a close district. 354 wins the district. 358 is second. And we can be frank here, 358 the last 10 years might have qualified the district that you were in once. You would have got in with a 358. Was that the course at Heritage Hills, or did that have something else to do with it? Or Hidden Hills, excuse me.
Well, I think a lot of it was just the conditions, the wind. I mean, it was real windy, and the course was in great shape, but it was real windy, and small greens and rounded greens, and so it was tough to hold things, hold the ball on the greens as you hit your approach shots and so forth. And so I think it was a combination of things, and our kids just didn't have their A game that day, but I think it's a compliment to the kids that, even though they didn't have their A game, that we're good enough to qualify. But as you said, over the past 10 years, that may not have even sniffed, a fourth or fifth place in our district, because 3 years ago we shoot 325 and get fourth in our district. So we're fortunate enough to be in that district, but again, I just think it's credit to the kids that they really stuck it out. Thomas Koch started out struggling. He went 49-40, so that was just one of the keys for us. But it's just the experience and the drive that the kids have wanting to succeed that brings us back again this year.
Randy, name some of the other kids on your golf team too. Why don't you name the kids that'll be playing for you?
Well, this year we were bringing four kids back who played at state last year. We have four seniors and a freshman playing. Thomas Koch placed at state last year along with Alex Sheehy, Josh Merman. He was our only medalist at districts this past week, and Lance Schmidt. So those four guys played last year. Then we have a freshman, Grant Schmidt, playing this week. So, we do bring some experience back. The neat thing about these kids, they're multi-talented. They're not only golfers, but they're multi-sport athletes. They excel in the classroom. They excel in different areas of their life. And so I think, those type of things and the experiences they've had allow them a chance to be successful.
We're talking with Randy Aarons, head golf coach at Hastings St. Cecilia here as they get ready for the Class C championships. One thing I've always talked about, Mahoney gets a state golf tournament quite often, and it is a it's a course, and you can probably help me out with the exact word I want here, but all the par threes are pretty much the same distance. The par fives are pretty much the same hole. The par fours might be a little bit different. So if you got a kid, if you're playing 175-yard par three, three or four of them are the exact same. If you got a favorite club, it might favor you. If you're in between clubs, it might hurt you a little bit. How does this course set up for your kids?
Well, I think pretty well. The kids have confidence in the course, and I haven't walked the whole course yet. Just looking at it, it's in great shape. And kids came down on their own here last week, and then we had one that played in early April. So I just think that they really like it. They have a chance to, as you said, as they say, you can score on this course, coach. And so it's like, okay, we'll see what happens. And the weather and the conditions should be perfect. The heat may be a factor in humidity, but kids are young. They're younger than you and Jim are.
Yeah, and they have better swings, too. I know that, Randy. As always, give us a look at the team race. I know you're confident that your kids can compete very well. Who are the teams to beat this year?
Well, it's hard to tell. I mean, going based on district scores, you know, it's just hard to tell because they can be somewhat misleading or deceiving. You know, I talked to Coach Petrie this morning down here in Lincoln, and he asked about our districts, and he said out in Kimball is just a perfect day for golf. He said absolutely perfect. And so, you know, so across the state the scores are misleading, but, you know, just checking scores and watching, I would think Ord has played very consistent throughout the year. We've seen, you know, Bishop Newman at a couple tournaments and watched their scores a little bit, and they're able to shoot in the low 320s and things, you know, in that area, and they've been consistent. And so, you know, and then you throw in some teams that might get hot. You got the Clues kid that may lead his team if he goes really low. You know, you don't need great scores if you got two that are pretty low. So I think it's just going to come down to our strength in numbers. If our guys play well, you know, I think we're very consistent. We got five golfers that can shoot a fairly low score. So I think that's what, you know, I've kind of stressed all year is the fact that you need to have, you know, avoid the big numbers, but keep everybody fairly close, and that gives you a great chance. And, you know, past history shows that you don't have to be great at the state tournament. You just have to be good. A lot of people forget that. Since it's like the year-end event, some nerves and tension and muscles start tightening up a little bit, and, you know, scores aren't always where you think they should be or could be.
Yeah, Randy, is there that dominating team? I mean, in years past, I mean, I used to coach that a little bit. I could tell if we had a chance to finish maybe in the top three, or maybe our goal should be to get sixth or seventh, you know, because sometimes there's that really good team out there. Has anybody shot, I mean, I'm not talking about a small course, but a really competitive course, has anybody shot under 320?
Yeah, they have been. You know, we have. You know, I was surprised in our districts, you know, Central Catholic didn't get in because they had been shooting really well. Ord shot under 320. Bishop Newman has, and we have as well. So, and other than that, you know, golf scores aren't as popular to be in the papers as football and basketball scores. So sometimes that's difficult. But there are teams that can go under 320.
Well, the golf scores are always higher, Randy.
Yeah.
Hey. You've probably given a speech or whatever advice, speech, words of wisdom each time you send the kids out, but you got four seniors, and obviously Grant has been around the game, you know, with Lance on the team. Is what you say to these guys different this year, or what's going to be your final words to them?
I'm just trying to think of those things and trying to, you know, over the last couple of weeks, kind of instilling in their minds that, you know, the disciplined approach. The more disciplined you are, the better chance you have when things, you know, in the big time, in the big moment. So, you know, I'm just thinking, you guys just be self-disciplined, you know, play in the present. Because at some point out there, you're going to run into some adversity, but you have to think other teams are as well. And so, I'm just going to say, you know, basically, golf's pretty simple. Go out and have fun, shoot your best, you know, and let it fall where it may, and we'll see where it happens. You know, you just don't want to have that bitter taste that we didn't score as well as we could have in the state tournament. So we'll see what happens. Our kids really performed quite well last year in this environment, so I think we have a chance to do pretty well again this year.
They tee it up at 9:30 tomorrow at Mahoney. And Randy Aarons, head golf coach, Hastings St. Cecilia, thanks for the time. Best of luck to the kids the next couple days.
Thank you. Appreciate it, and always appreciate visiting with you guys. So you have a good one as well.
Take care, buddy. Randy Aarons joining us. State golf again tomorrow, 2 in Lincoln, A and C, Grand Island Indian Head B, Kearney Country Club in D. We'll take a break here in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Catch up with Phil Stanton, college baseball insider, after this.
Come on in. Let the games begin.
Hi, this is Jeremy from HK Sports Bar and Grill. Or you can call it Hastings Keno. You can call it plain Keno. My point is this, we aren't just your daddy's Keno parlor anymore. We're a new restaurant. I mean, the building's in the same place, but it's a new restaurant. The faces are different, the menu is different, atmosphere is different, everything's different. It is a new restaurant. If you haven't been here lately, you haven't been here.
Come on in, let the games begin.
When my husband turned 30, I didn't think much of it. I know men start to lose testosterone levels after 30. I just wasn't sure what that meant. Now I do. He gained weight, became moody, depressed, made excuses all the time to not have to do anything physical. It even got to the point where he never wanted to be romantic. A friend of mine told me about ManCore from Complete Nutrition, so I picked up some for my husband. He started using ManCore a little over a month ago. He's becoming himself again. He's lost 10 pounds, got his spark back, and is in much better moods. He's back to being the guy I fell in love with. If the man in your life isn't what he used to be, it could be low testosterone levels. It happens to all men. ManCore is specifically formulated for men over 30. It helped my husband. It can help yours too. ManCore from Complete Nutrition.
Find Complete Nutrition in Grand Island just north of Gordman's off Highway 281 and in Kearney just north of Sun Mart on 2nd Avenue.
Complete Nutrition.
Comforting guidance when you need it most.
Horner, Liske, McBride, and Kuehl.
Dedicated, trusted, and compassionate service.
Horner, Liske, McBride, and Kuehl.
We listen to you.
We are here for you.
And we help ease a difficult time.
Our family serving your family for generations. Please call, stop by, or go online. Horner, Liske, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Health insurance is changing. You have new options, but which one is right for you? As authorized independent agents for Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, Farm Bureau Financial Service agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers know health insurance and can help you understand your options and the differences between them. Contact Rich Peters and Matt Myers and see how they can simplify the process and help you select the right health insurance policy for you and your family. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska is an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC, affiliate Farm Bureau Financial Services.
We'll see some sunshine develop across the area today with an isolated chance for a shower storm late. With a high of 88, south winds will stay light through the day. Tonight, with partly cloudy skies, we'll head down to 61 for a low. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, it's 75.
Doug and Danny Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. And Jimmy, everybody's trying to get to Nebraska here in a couple of weeks for the College World Series at TD Ameritrade. It still blows my mind, the attendance. I knew it would be better, it had to be better, for the Big Ten tournament than what it's been in the past at other sites. But what Nebraska fans did was insane. Do you think in any way that will affect the attendance for the College World Series, because a lot of people maybe took last week a couple days off to go see the Huskers?
I doubt it. I'm going to say I doubt that. I think people that like to do that will continue to go. Amazing, though, one thing was the fact that I think, and I could be wrong here when I put this out, these numbers, because I don't have them in front of me, but I think the old record was 12,000 for the attendance at the Big Ten tournament. And that's 12,000 over a period of time. And they didn't double it.
No.
No, they didn't get 24,000 people there. You know, they didn't triple it with 36,000. I mean, you know, we're talking almost six times as many people. And you know, the first thing out of the Indiana head coach made the comment, he goes, hey, we really appreciate getting to play in front of this many people, especially even though they were cheering for Nebraska. But he said, we do appreciate, you know, what the people have done. And you know, it kind of reminded me, you know, of some other things like that.
Phil Stanton ready to talk with us about the College World Series here on the Doug and Danny Show from College Baseball Insider. Phil, I don't know if people think of Nebraska as a baseball state, but I guess they put their cement and put their mark on it for sure this past week. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
Well, it's great to catch up with you again. I mean, I know we don't have any problem shoehorning fans into the seats at the College World Series, but to shatter basically every conference tournament record, should we be thinking about going to the SEC, or what should we be doing here?
No, I think what they need to do is see if they can get the Big Ten tournament to come there on a regular basis, which I think they will.
Well, it'll be exciting. Again, it does go to Minneapolis and then next year, and then we don't know beyond that. But let's jump into the baseball. Thanks so much for being with us. And Indiana being the first national seed out of the Big Ten Conference, we're here. We're trying to pump it up. But again, from a national perspective, what is the Big Ten Conference's look right now? Because as we said, when Nebraska came in, if recollection is correct here, they were like 17th as far as RPI, and now they're somewhere around 6th just in the last 3 years.
Yeah, I think it's the overall league has done so well in recent years. We saw Purdue 2 years ago, and then Indiana's really been on a really strong two-year run with what they did last year. I think a big part of the overall conference's success has been Nebraska getting themselves back up into the national picture.
Talking here with Phil Stanton, how far away do you think the Big Ten is from getting more than just a couple of teams in, four or five type of teams?
Probably still a few years away, but I think some programs are making some strides. Illinois was really close. They were one of the first teams out this year, so that would have been three from the league to get in. I think Purdue will get back to where they were a couple years ago. Michigan made some really good strides this year. I think they're going to be a team to watch over these next couple years. Ohio State played well beginning of the year, and then they didn't play so well once they got into conference play. Iowa was much better this year than they've been in the past. So, you know, I think there's a whole lot of potential there.
Hey, when you look at the overall top eight seeds, did any come out and surprise you at all? Did any of the teams surprise you thinking, whoa, I thought they might be a three overall instead of a seven like a Louisiana? Or did anything surprise you at all, or was it about what you thought would happen?
No, people maybe were adjusted maybe one spot, but I think overall it was kind of what we expected. I thought Florida might still get the number one overall seed just for having won the regular season title, having made it to the championship game. Had they won, maybe they would have bumped up to number one. Rice was one I thought had a real good chance of getting a national seed, winning the regular season in the tournament title in Conference USA and having a strong RPI. But I think with what TCU and LSU did in their conference tournaments, I think that pretty well solidified them into those last two spots.
We're talking with Phil Stanton, College Baseball Insider, collegebaseballinsider.com. You can check out their website. Is that Rice, Texas, Texas A&M Regional the most intriguing, or is there something else that catches your eye? I suppose that's the most intriguing in Texas, at least.
Oh, it sure is. Texas and Texas A&M haven't played in a few years, so I think that's maybe the most intriguing first-round matchup. And you know, all three of those teams have a shot of winning that regional. So it's Texas and Texas A&M are going to have to be kind of careful that they still have something left in the tank once they get through that opening game.
How about that one group where they've got Louisville, Kent State, Kansas, and Kentucky? Look to me like that'd be the final four for an NCAA basketball tournament, with Kent State maybe not being in there.
Yeah, I had seen somebody tweet that out yesterday. I think that one will be a really fun regional. Kent State had made the run to Omaha a couple years ago, and then they've pretty much completely turned over their roster. They were the number four seed in the MAC tournament, but they were able to make their way through. Kentucky has been solid in the SEC all year. Louisville was regular season champ in the American, so I think that one's really going to be a fun one to watch.
Talking with Phil Stanton, College Baseball Insider, getting ready for the NCAA baseball tournament. A couple questions, Phil. When we get to basketball, and you touched on it a little bit there with Illinois, there's bubble teams. Did anybody get left out this year?
The one that we thought when my site partner Sean Ryan and I had gone through our last projections, we really thought that Central Florida was going to get in. They had a solid RPI. They finished second in the American. They were ahead of Houston, just behind Louisville. We thought that they had done enough. We actually had them in place of Clemson, but not a huge difference between those two. So that was the one that surprised us the most. I think a team that really had fallen off the last couple of weeks was Mercer. They had probably 3 weeks ago had themselves solidly in a position for an at-large, but they lost their final two series, and then they went 0-2 in the A-Sun tournament. And, you know, I think just by struggling so much at the end of the year, that cost them an at-large spot.
Now, for college, again, I always throw this out. Nebraska fans, they watch the Huskers. They watch the Big Ten. How deep they get into college baseball before this time of the year is usually a question mark. But I'm already hearing Husker and Nebraska beat writers and some national people picking Cal Poly. But they've been in the top 10 most of the year. But this would be a story. This would definitely be a story and somebody to follow and somebody new. What can you tell us about them?
Yeah, they were one at the beginning of the year. Everybody thought that that Cal State Fullerton was going to be the team out there in the Big West, and Cal Poly has just been solid all year long. They're probably the best hitting team. I think most people think of the Big West as being strong pitching wise, but they're hitting 300, so they're one of the best hitting teams out there. Then, I think they've just had really good balance all year long. No long losing streaks. They're 45-10. So, they've done it all year. Now, what will be interesting to see is now, getting into regional, is the pressure going to get to them? The first time that they've ever hosted, they've got a team that is used to being there as the number two, Arizona State. Pepperdine has played really well this season, won the West Coast Conference. So it's going to be interesting to see how does Cal Poly handle this now, especially, hopefully they've got enough staff that can handle all the administrative stuff that the coaches and players, all they have to do is just concentrate on getting out there and playing. But it's a major undertaking when you go through and host for the first time.
Hey, question for you. Of the number four seeds, is there any one of the number fours that you're going, whoa, this team could win, they have a great pitcher, they can beat the number one seed first game, and they could maybe win that? Do you see a number four, any of them?
I don't think this year there's anybody as deep. There's not somebody like Stony Brook from a couple years ago. I think College of Charleston is probably the best of the four seeds, but they're down in Gainesville, so they've got to go up against Florida and most likely would have to beat Florida at least twice. And they might be able to beat them once. I don't know if they could beat them twice. Another one that has had a really good year is Campbell. They had 49 wins a year ago, didn't get in because of a very weak non-conference strength of schedule. They were able to win the Big South this year, but they're down in Columbia. They'll get matched up with South Carolina first round. And again, they may be able to beat South Carolina once, but I just don't know that they're going to be able to beat them multiple times.
Phil Stanton, last minute here with us from College Baseball Insider on a busy Tuesday, the day after the NCAA baseball selections came out. Which one of these super regional brackets in your mind is the toughest?
I think of the regionals, I think the Oxford regional is the toughest. So, and with that getting matched up with Lafayette, that probably makes the toughest pairing down there. In Oxford, Ole Miss hosting, Washington's number two. A lot of people thought they were in position for possibly being a host. They struggled the last weekend, so they got bumped down to a two. Georgia Tech is the three. A lot of people thought they would be a two. They just won the ACC tournament. So that's probably the toughest one there. And then over on the opposite them, Louisiana Lafayette's the number six national seed, and they have just been amazing all year, 53-7, really good hitting team. Now, a lot of people were talking up Mississippi State being the number two there, that you had the potential for an Ole Miss-Mississippi State matchup. I think Louisiana Lafayette's probably going to use that as a little bit of motivation and say, hey, you know, we're the number one seed here. Don't forget about us.
Phil, let's get to the meat and potatoes here. Who I don't need all eight, but who are a couple that you just don't have any doubt are going to get to Omaha? And we talked a couple of these teams. Do you have a wild card getting to Omaha this year?
I think there could be two teams that I think have really good routes to be able to get there. One is Oregon State. I think they may be the best, the most complete team amongst all of them, and they've got two, maybe the best pitching tandem this year in Wentzler and Fry. So I think they're going to be tough. I think they'll handle their regional, and then whoever ends up coming out of Stillwater, I think they'll be able to take care of them. And then I think Indiana has probably the easiest regional. I think a lot of people were surprised Indiana State was a number two. So I think they'll be able to work their way through, and then they'll host the winner of the Nashville Regional, which I guess would be Vanderbilt. So those two probably have the best road. I don't know. Right offhand, there's nobody that jumps out as, you know, a really, really strong two. I think Washington's got a chance, that they might be able to work their way through. But so far, and looking at the rest of them, this may be another year where chalk is going to hold through. I look back at last year, out of the regionals, 14 number one seeds ended up winning their regionals. So I know we've had some years in the past where that number has been a whole lot smaller, but I really like the number one seeds this year.
Well, you gave us a couple of sleepers, and I guess my last question for you, Phil, is you touched on Cal State Fullerton. People thought would be the favorite in their conference this year. That's who Nebraska has drawn, and they still seem to have a very solid pitching staff. Can you just give us an early scouting report on maybe even more on them?
Yeah, they have a really solid tandem. Two sophomores who were amazing last year as freshmen, Thomas Eshelman and Justin Garza. Garza threw a no-hitter on Friday evening in his final regular season start. Eshelman has been amazing as to the control that he's had in his career. This year he's thrown 117 innings. He's only walked 7 batters. Huh. Struck out 94, so they have been amazing. Where they've really struggled this year is at the plate. They have two really good hitters that pretty much carry their offense, J.D. Davis and Matt Chapman, but they really struggle beyond that. So, I mean, they're going to want to have low-scoring games. I would assume Eshelman will start the game on Friday against Nebraska, but they're looking at trying to have 1-0, 2-1 games. I think in looking at the bracket there in Stillwater, Nebraska has the best offense of all of those four teams. So if they can stay alive into Sunday and possibly even Monday, you know, they may be able to just outslug some teams, but I think there'll be some really solid pitching on, especially on Friday and Saturday.
Well, the march to Omaha begins, and Phil Stanton, College Baseball Insider, we always appreciate chatting with you on the Doug and Daddy Show. We look forward to the next, month of great college baseball. So enjoy it, and we'll catch up with you again.
All right, sounds great. Thanks, guys.
Take care. Phil Stanton, College Baseball Insider, Doug Duda, Jim Langan with you on the Doug and Daddy Show. It's always interesting, and I'll be like anybody else. I see who's in the top 20, top 25 each and every week, and we touch on them in the sports cast once in a while when it has to concern Nebraska teams and even the Huskers. But you don't really start paying attention until this time of the year, and you go, Cal Poly, huh? Indiana really is strong? I mean, this is a team that's going to get to Omaha? It's interesting to find out about a few of these teams.
Yes, it is. You know, when he was naming those, Doug, the one that really stuck out to me, Indiana's got a really good bracket. How about this bracket? TCU, the three teams in TCU's bracket. TCU has Siena, Sam Houston State, and Dallas Baptist. Now, there's not a whole lot of T-shirts out there in sporting goods stores with those three on it, except for the fourth one. TCU, there's all kinds. You go to any sporting goods store, and you'll find plenty of TCU stuff. But on those other three, if any of those three would win, it'll be a story.
What seed is Dallas Baptist out of that little bracket?
The two seed.
Okay. See, they've done it before. They've got through. They've had Nebraska's pitching coach in the past had come from there. So, but you're right. You look for brackets and you go, huh? Who? What? You know, Louisville. They're in. Even though Kentucky's there, Kent State, who was a surprise team here a couple of years ago, and Kansas, who was so red hot and kind of fell off to get in here at the end of the season. But you're right. You always look for a bracket like that. Virginia's in. Arkansas's in for Virginia. Just talking about some schools that would have interest with Nebraska. Obviously, with Coach Van Horn, Arkansas, they'll play Liberty, and then they've got Virginia. Many people believe they're one of the three teams. Because I mean, Indiana's good, national championship good. I don't think so. So that gives you Oregon State, Florida, Virginia. They're the top three seeds. I think you would have to go a long way to find somebody, pick somebody besides one of those three teams to win the national championship. Texas A&M, we already talked about them drawing Texas. And then you got Rice, who's just always good, but did their schedule match up to what Texas and especially Texas A&M played this year in the SEC. SEC got 10 teams in, Jimmy, 10 of their baseball teams.
That's almost amazing. And then, you know, it'd really kind of be decent. I mean, how many Heisman Trophy winners have played in the College World Series?
Zero.
Yeah.
Tom Chattel, good article today.
Great
talking
article.
Talking about teams he wants to see here, not necessarily the ones that will get here, but kind of a back and forth. These guys should. Of course, you want to see Nebraska. You want to see the Louisiana fans. There's some schools you just assume not see. I didn't really see him mention a lot of Texas schools that he wanted to see up here. But, yeah, Jameis Winston, Florida State. He mentioned Archie Manning but never got here. There was two or three of them that had the chance, you know, to play football, baseball, and either got here or Manning didn't win the Heisman, you know, that kind of thing. So they can't find that there was ever a Heisman Trophy winner that ever has played at the College World Series. So that would be interesting there. You talk about, you know, sectionals, regionals that have three. Well, Louisiana Lafayette, even though they're the number one seed, that's not a big name. Louisiana Lafayette, Jackson State, San Diego State, and Mississippi State. There's another
one
there.
Mississippi State's probably the bigger of all the names, yeah.
And let's see how good Cal Poly is, but that Pepperdine, look out for Pepperdine and the Wave, the old Pepperdine.
I wish we didn't have to play who we're playing first round. They just sound dangerous.
Well, it'll be at 12 noon this Friday, and we've got coverage on 1230 KHAS and maybe even more as the weekend progresses. We need to take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show. When we come back, we'll be talking with Dave Manerick, the executive director, Cornhusker State Games. Those are coming up around the corner, but when we return to the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth, we'll have all that for you. Don't forget Midway, Chevrolet, Buick, Cadillac, Midway, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, South 2nd Avenue, Kearney. This final week of May, maybe you had a chance to cruise around, maybe coming back from a long Memorial Day weekend and your car, truck, minivan, SUV needs some work on it. Get it into their great maintenance shop because they can get you in with certified technicians, not just on the vehicles they sell at Midway, but everything. They continue to get schooled, go to all the schools, keep up to date on the very latest so that no matter what the vehicle is that needs to be fixed, they know how to fix it. So when it is time for you to make that next purchase of a new or pre-owned vehicle, you know the dedication they have at your Midway Auto Dealerships, Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac, South 2nd Avenue Kearney, or thinkmidway.com. Midway, it's a better way.
Hi, this is Ron Wall with Cargill Ag Horizons Marketing Services, better known as CAMS. As a personal marketing manager, I bring Cargill's global knowledge to your home or office by delivering unique insights that can benefit your operation. When you work with CAMS, you have expert marketers working for you so that you can concentrate on the business of farming. To learn more about how our disciplined approach to risk management can benefit your operation, call me at 402-710-1200. Cargill, helping farmers prosper.
Who likes contracts? Whether it's your gym membership or cell phone service, nobody likes contracts, right? That's why you should choose Prairie iNet. They offer amazing internet service and you never, never have to sign a contract. You will get fast, reliable service for streaming video, playing online games, and social media. They're locally based with local people, local support, and local pricing. And there is no risk with their 30-day money-back guarantee. Remember, no gimmicks, no contracts with Prairie iNet.
To sign up for Prairie iNet, call 308-224-2309. 224-2309.
At Copycat Printing, we do more than copy and print. We help our customers communicate. Today, the need for effective design is stronger than ever.
With the experience from our design team, let us help you refresh your look. Whether it's a new design or enhancing your current vision, we provide personalized designs for any project in mind.
Design isn't just a job, it's our passion.
Contact the design team at Copycat Printing, 2100 Avenue A, visit carneycopycat.com, or like them on Facebook. Copycat Printing, the better idea.
People from all around are talking about how the new Refirm Now is changing their lives forever.
I lost 79 pounds. My energy has increased and I'm even more toned.
I believe this is the perfect product to give you the energy and motivation to lose weight. I actually cut my body fat in half.
Refirm Now is the biggest weight loss breakthrough in years. Helps with stress, more energy, fat burning, your appetite, and the best body toning ingredients.
I have never felt better. Just take the step and get to complete nutrition.
So if you want the strongest fat burner to hit the market since ephedrine, you need Refirm Now. Found only at Complete Nutrition. If you lose more than 10 pounds in 10 days, please contact your Complete Nutrition consultant.
Find Complete Nutrition in Grand Island just north of Gordman's off Highway 281 and in Kearney just north of Sun Mart on 2nd Avenue.
Look, feel, perform better. Complete Nutrition.
So you work late, golf, play ball, whatever. You're thinking,
if I could just a great happy hour, I got something good to eat after 10 at night.
Well, Jersey says come on in Monday through Thursday, 9 to 11, and enjoy late night happy hour for everyone who wishes they hadn't missed happy hour. And they're serving food till 11.
Seriously, why didn't I think of this?
Jersey Sports Bar, your true neighborhood sports bar where the grill and the game are always on. North 2nd Avenue, Vista Point Shopping Center.
Doug and Danny Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. At the French Open today, Lincoln native Jack Sock. I don't know. I caught it because they did flash over to it on ESPN2 this morning. This tennis thing, I mean, I know there's not a ton of tennis fans, but the ones that are, you know, it's just like all the so-called minor sports in Nebraska, so if it's not football. you know, but Jack was up 5-0. This is the 21st ranked player, or seeded, I guess, in this tournament. And his name was Nick Almagro. And it sounded like they didn't show any of it, but they said, okay, we're hearing a break. He's called for a trainer. And they just said, the guy's just been standing there. He's not chasing anything. He looks injured, and now he defaults. And they say these guys now, even if they're injured, as long as they walk out on the court, play a couple sets, they get a pretty good paycheck. And instead of saying, I can't go, and giving another guy a chance, so some of the McEnroes and the guys that cover tennis on a daily basis, they were, let's just say if this was football and they were talking about football the way they were talking about tennis this morning, it'd be national news the way they were talking about what's going on. But the good news for Jack Sock is, who's now won a few matches in these major tournaments, Tommy Haas was the top guy on his side through the first couple of rounds. He also has stepped down. So if Sock can win two more, he's not going to have to play one of the seeded players, and he could get into the round of 16 where he'd get number one Rafael Nadal. But man, can you imagine? You're probably center court against Nadal, getting into the fourth round, biggest check he's going to get. And again, he's got to win two more, but something finally sets up for Jack Sock, which actually is one of the top Americans going right now in tennis.
Yeah, wouldn't that be something? Like you say, it's like in boxing. I mean, not that they're seated like this, that is. But if you can win this fight and this fight, it's kind of set up that you're going to get a chance to fight maybe the heavyweight champion of the world. You know, and that's kind of what's going on, what you're talking about right here. And it sounds like he's the favorite. That's very interesting, too, what you say about this tennis, about these guys. They shouldn't be out there, but the money that they can get by just stepping out on the court and, you know, like you say, not even making an effort to chase it. You know, it's not like they got injured during the match or they thought they could go and then, you know. So that's kind of a disappointing. I can understand where a McEnroe's saying a few things. I hear what he's saying.
Well, Doug Duda, Jim Langan with you here on the Doug and Daddy Show. And every summer, the Cornhusker State Games gets bigger and better. We're a year removed from the national games coming to Lincoln. And the executive director, Dave Manerick, joins us as he does a couple of times a year on the Doug and Daddy Show off the Memorial weekend. Morning, Dave. Did Jack ever play in the Cornhusker State Games?
Jack did play in the Cornhusker State Games. I'm glad you glad you came to that. I was going to get there if you didn't. Yeah, he's well decorated through some of his youth years here in the state games. That's one of the bright things about the games is that it does cover just about every sport you could have an opportunity to play here in Nebraska. Some we consider major, that's where the attention goes, and some not so much. And so it's fun to hear about how he's doing internationally in tennis, because not a lot of people know that. So it's nice, it's cool that you guys report on it. I think that's neat.
Well, hey, if there's something to report on, we try to nail it here. I'll tell you what, especially when they're doing so well. Before we get into the meat and potatoes of the Cornhusker State Games, obviously anniversary, a lot of things are being talked about. But it seems to me that there are a lot more things going on before and around, and you're getting some more sponsorships, and you've got some more, let's call them clinics, but you just got a lot of other things that are helping build up to the actual event this summer. Am I true in that statement?
It's true, and that's partially by design and partially just, you know, taking advantage of a lot of people maybe focusing their attention on the state games that do occasionally or once in a while. When you come up on a 30th anniversary, there's a certain amount of legitimacy and credibility, and just a lot of now people know really that we're going to be around, that the event's going to go on, and it's really become kind of one of those annual traditions and annual vacations that a lot of Nebraskans, they just do. It's on their calendar. Whatever their sport, sometimes they switch around sports, they want to be part of the state games. But yeah, we're doing some things with the Torch Run, and of course we've got Eric Strickland doing athlete clinics in five of the communities in conjunction with the Torch Run, so you can come out and learn some basketball from one of the greatest Huskers to ever lace it up in basketball, as far as I'm concerned. And he was one of our mystery torch lighters back in the day, so that brings a piece of our history kind of full circle. He's doing a lot of instruction and a lot of, you know, youth programming now. And so Eric will be a big hit. One of them's in Kearney. One of them's in Grand Island. One of them's in North Platte. One of them's in Scottsbluff, and then here in Lincoln, of course. So, we're doing that. And then, of course, we're planning 2 years at once. You hit on it a little bit, but it's State Games of America has certainly brought a lot of new interest, sponsorships, volunteers, participation. Has brought a lot of new interest to the program. So it's like a lot of things hitting at once, and in the next couple of months leading up to that opening ceremonies on July 18th, that it's just going to get busier here, which is fun. Our people are ready. They're on point and having a good time with it.
Do you use a lot of the schools, like for some of the indoor activities, a lot of the high schools in Lincoln there, and the golf courses, things like that you can't just put out? Do you have to use those events? Or tell us what's going on there.
We do. We're blessed to have great local partners. The Lincoln Public School System signed on early, actually at the beginning of the event, and now we really kind of get to pick the facilities we need from among. We have a contract with Lincoln Public Schools, but it's basically covering their cost to open the doors and have some people around to make sure we get what we need. So all of the Lincoln Public Schools, most of the parochial schools in Lincoln and the surrounding areas, Waverly, for example, Malcolm, Hickman, those are all schools that pitch in and we get to use their gyms. The fields, it's the same situation. City of Lincoln Parks and Rec's been a great partner for a long time, so they basically block off the baseball, soccer, you know, softball facilities and say, you know, tell us what you're going to need sometime before the event. And if we can open it up beforehand for others, we do that. But for the most part, we play everywhere. There's more than 70 venues we use overall. Starting to do more and more events in Omaha, both because we need the facilities, and they have some great ones there, but also kind of to gear up for the State Games of America. That event will tax our facilities like nothing we've ever done. We usually get to use all of the gyms and fields two different times during the games because we have two weekends, so we kind of flip everything. Well, for the State Games of America, we won't have that option. That's a basically five-day continuous run event. So we'll have to split a lot of those sports that we've been able to do, maybe adults one weekend, youth another weekend in the same gym. So there's a lot of puzzle pieces we're putting together right now. But, yeah, we use most every facility in Lincoln and around the area.
The 30th anniversary of the Cornhusker State Games. You can go to cornhuskerstategames.com for a whole lot more information. We're talking with Executive Director Dave Manerick here. I don't know how it's possible that you guys continue to add events every single year. Is there anything new this year?
Well, we have the return of a sport that debuted a couple of years ago, CrossFit, which, I mean, basically you're exercising. You're trying to be the best at exercising. A lot of us like to train for a different sport, but CrossFit has just taken the nation by storm, and it continues to be, especially over the last 5-6 years, continues to be very strong. So we're gonna roll that back out, and then we're also doing a new cycling event called the Gravel Grinder, and it's basically a 50-mile or 100-mile, whatever your pleasure, gravel bike race. And a lot of people use mountain bikes or hybrid bikes, and that's become kind of a big event. So no matter what, I mean, with 65 sports now, you'd think you've got everything covered, but we like to be inclusive, and if there's people out there that want to organize an event and it fits into our program and they apply, which is our process, we're generally inclined to add the event.
Let's go to the Debt Popper inbox. We have a couple questions here for Dave Manerick, the executive director of the Cornhusker State Games. And this one, I noticed that there are a lot of, and always have been, basketball. When you get into some of the more popular sports, you can break it up into a variety of categories. But this comes from Tim and Carney. He wants to know if it's true that you sat on the rim at the Devaney Center after cutting down the nets at the state championship, and if that event will ever be added.
Rim sitting will not be added. It's a bad visual with anybody sitting on a rim, but me especially. And thanks, Tim Teal. I'm glad to give you a shout out. Tim was one of the real players on that team. I just jumped up there and took some attention when he and the other guys won the event and deserved it.
Man, that's a lot of praise for Tim Teal. I don't know. That's not where I was going with that.
That's good.
He was a very good high school basketball player. Very good.
Yes, he was. Hey, I got a question for you. Ages, the youngest that ever participated and the oldest, and what events did they do?
Well, every year we have the youngest is usually under a year old, and that doesn't stand to reason, but it's become kind of a contest. Parents of young children will sign them up, put them in the walk event, roll them around in the stroller, have them be the youngest official participant. It's kind of a fun tradition. So in the past, we've actually had parents sign up kids who weren't born yet, and I think the youngest that we ever had was 23 days old the day of the event. And then on the other side, we have had a participant that was 97. That participant also participated in the that person participated in horseshoe pitching. So we run the gamut. There's a lot of opportunity. We say all ages, all abilities, and we mean it.
Dave, again, we didn't really give all the specifics. Let's give the dates, how people can get registered. I know there's early registration time. Give us the details.
Yep, this is the 30th anniversary Cornhusker State Games coming up July 18th through the 27th. We have 65-plus sports, all ages, all abilities. And the early deadline, which allows you to enter at the least expensive price, is June 15th. The final deadline for most events is June 30th. So So you want to get on CornhuskerStateGames.com. You want to check out your event, read the categories, read the rules, and get yourself registered right there online and be part of the 30th anniversary games. We have one big change this year. The opening ceremonies, which is usually held outdoors at Seacrest Stadium here in Lincoln, is moving inside the new Pinnacle Bank Arena. So people who have come down for years and kind of sweat out the opening ceremonies are going to have a chance to enjoy it in air conditioning this year.
And lighting the torch will be who again?
I can't remember. I'll have to look that up. Do you have about, 6 weeks?
Every year we try to just slide that by, and every year Dave is right on top of it. And again, with Eric Strickland, we did it with Jordan Larson and Kurt Tomasevich last year. If they want to know more information about how to see Eric and go to those day camps, what do they need to do?
Well, again, it's all at CornhuskerStateGames.com, and I think we just call it athlete support clinics. The one in Kearney, I'm sure, is going to be on the 25th of June. And I want to shout out to the Kearney YMCA. Our great friends there in Kearney are going to host that event. Should be a great time. And it's all at CornhuskerStateGames.com.
Dave, anything else that you wanted to mention?
No, I think you guys let me cover it well. Thanks very much.
Well, we look forward to it. I know the next 14 months or so are going to be extremely busy with all that you guys got going on, and anytime you need to chat, love to have you on the Doug and Daddy Show, so enjoy the summer.
Sounds great. Thanks a lot.
Take care. Dave Manerick joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show, Executive Director, Cornhusker State Games. It has evolved, and I don't know if it's gotten more athletic and more competitive. I think it has in some, but there are a lot of people that just enjoy it. I mean, we've got the senior games here in Kearney. It's the same type of deal. You want to go play pool. You want to shoot some horseshoes. You want to be in the walk, the bike ride, the archery. They've got arm wrestling now, the adventure race. There's just, if you enjoy any kind of sport, it is at the Cornhusker State Games.
Doug, have you participated in it before? And if you have, what events did you do? And then, Doug, another question to me. I would look online and see how many competitors there are and see if, you know, if there's only like three or four in that, then I might try that.
Well, that's a good one. Some of the things that would be there, I mean, they've got softball, so we've seen that. There's a lot of shooting categories. 1, 2, 3, 4, man. High power rifle, pistol, silhouette, trap, skeet. Have not done rugby. There's karate. There's a couple things on here producer Merritt probably has been a part of in the past. How about you?
Yeah, they usually just ask me to officiate something.
Yeah, well,
you know?
We've all seen it and been a part of it. But this CrossFit stuff, no. They don't let me on the golf course anymore. Basketball, it's badminton. That's more my style. A little badminton.
Yeah.
I mean, how much can that hurt?
Well, it's not bad unless you're playing Bill Roche. Then it can hurt really bad.
We'll take a break, wrap up the Doug and Daddy Show after this. Johnson Lawn
and Landscape. There's a saying that the best time to plant a tree is yesterday. Hey, Central Nebraska, this is Greg Sharp. You can't turn back the clock, so don't wait. Go green with Johnson Lawn and Landscape. Johnson's team of designers will meet your needs and exceed your expectations, whether residential or commercial, with a vast array of landscaping options. Stay ahead of the clock. Call Johnson Lawn and Landscape now or on the web at johnsonlandscape.net.
Johnson Lawn and Landscape, going green with the best. Come on.
Hi, this is Jeremy from HK Sports Bar and Grill. Or you can call it Hastings Kino, you can call it plain Kino. My point is this, we aren't just your daddy's Kino parlor anymore. We're a new restaurant. I mean, the building's in the same place, but it's a new restaurant. The faces are different, the menu is different, atmosphere is different, everything's different. It is a new restaurant. If you haven't been here lately, you haven't been here.
Come on in, let the games begin.
It's a place you'll be proud to belong. The Kearney Country Club, with its well-manicured 18-hole golf course, tennis courts, resort-style swimming pool, programs for all ages, as well as fine and casual dining. This year, find out how new members can partner with others to save up to 30% off a membership. Call the Kearney Country Club at 308-234-3151 for details and to set up a time to see for yourself. The Kearney Country Club.
Instead of dealing with a bank, let us work for you. Hastings Federal Credit Union, the only member-owned financial institution in the area, offering checking, savings, auto, or mortgage loans too, with lower fees and truly personal service. Serving the financial needs of those who live in Adams, Clay, Fillmore, Knuckles, Thayer, and Webster counties. People helping people. Hastings Federal Credit Union, 707 North Marion Road in Hastings. Online at hastingsfcu.org. Equal housing lender, member NCUA.
Doug and Natty Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN radio superstation. As we finally saw this weekend, it looks like if Mother Nature, especially to the north of here, is going to be like this all summer, your T&L irrigation system is going to have to be cranking out the water for your crops, or you're going to be in some big-time trouble. T&L has proven technology that works, and maybe you went, I need something now because it's not looking good and they're not telling me anything good. You may need more water control. And with continuous movement of all towers, no high voltage AC on the system, the auto reverse and stop on this, no copper wire on their system, precision speed control, it's all right there as part of the PPC3. And right now, T&L Irrigation is ready to do business with you. If you were thought you were ready to go for the 2014 season and maybe you've realized you're not, they've been doing it for over 55 years, taking care of everyone in not only our area and the state of Nebraska, but the U.S. and more than 65 countries worldwide. Manual speed and direction control, T&L point control, precision link, pivot manager 2, a variety of systems that keep getting bigger and better for your operation. See your local T&L irrigation dealer today or TLIRR.com.
Doug, did you see anything that caught your eye at the state track meet? Anything that you thought, wow, did anything catch your eye at all on the state track meet?
I'll tell you what, I thought it played out a lot like people thought. Kearney High just does it again. Congratulations to the Bearcats. Very close team race. They beat Papillion-La Vista by 6 and Millard West by 7. You know, Cozad is on their upcycle right now at the boys, and they pretty much dominate Class B. Exciting for the area. Class B girls, Northwest, York, Holdridge. McCook was fourth, so they're all right there. And Coach Gee going out in style over at Grand Island Northwest. And it just shows they only won one event. That's the thing about track. I mean, even in wrestling, when you go for the team race, you're probably going to have a state champ. And somebody out there could shoot me one. I mean, who's the last state wrestling champion that didn't have an individual champ? I mean, it's hard to do. You can do that in track. You can't really do it in swimming because it requires many more points to do that. But, you know, 41 points won the Class C boys. 47 points won the Class C girls. Most years, that might not get in the top three, but this year, not only did it won state for you. And kind of the same in Class D. It was 49.5 points for the boys. The girls, a little bit more top-heavy with St. Mary's and Bruning Davenport Shickley. But a lot of area teams did well. Some state records were broken. I don't think anything got shattered that we didn't talk about last week. Aiken Otico does great on the girls' side. You know, locally, you're going to leave people out. Paige Herbert, I think, scored all the points for Kearney Catholic's girls, and so got kind of the runner-up trophy on her own. But
that's a good point, because when you're on the show, our goal is to not leave people out. Would easily be the thing that would happen. But the gold medal performers, you know, the single girl from Litchfield, Ansley, had a 5'8" jump, you know, and wins the
Siegel,
gold. Yeah. So, you know, there are some, you know, there were some areas, and I mean, I'm not going to try to name them all because it would be impossible to do that. But just like you said, it played it out. I mean, it kind of like the people that we thought were going to win ended up winning. So I think that was a good point on you, Doug, that there wasn't really any major upsets.
Oh, we got to see a lot of the girls either at conference or at district, so, and they performed at state, you know, or did what they did, winning the 3,200 boys and girls. We talked about Paige Herbert, the Quist girl, outstanding for Donovan Trumbull. Ravenna, Dale wins the high jump. They win the 4x1. You have got Jessica Rout from Wood River doing what she does, another gold medal over there. The big boys and Tibbs running over at Kennesaw. There was a nice story on him in the paper this last week about Lane Tibbs from Kennesaw. Arkansas. Elm Creek was there in the top 10. Giltner, Amherst, Alma boys were there. So a lot of good stories. And again,
like your Kearney High, that 400-meter relay gold medal, and you know, 1, 2, and 4 in the shot put. I mean, you know, there was some really a nice accomplishments from our athletes in the area. The girl from Holdridge, and there was a lot of stuff that went on, right?
83 points for the Kearney boys. So that was the most anybody scored, by the way, boys or girls, this week. So there you go. And another youngster doing well, Fremont's Jess Shepherd. She's going to represent as one of the 12 players on the U.S. basketball under-18 women's national team that gets to play in the championships in Colorado this August. So all that going on. Plus, not just a high school track, Jimmy. UNK's Michael Thalkin, a career-best toss in the shot put at 59 feet, so he finishes in fifth. He's an All-American for the Lopers. And Hastings College track, they're really starting to – of course, if you get a home run hitter, Jennifer Mag wins the shot and the discus on the outdoor this year, and Hastings College finishes – In fourth place overall with 41.5 points. Then Justin Roberts finished fifth in the men's shot.
You know, Brock Towdy, the Bertrand kid, got 10th in the 3,000. So, yeah, there was some a lot of good area things in track and field this year.
So, there you go. Anything, Stan, was there, you asked me, was there anything else that we missed from the weekend?
Nope. Just,
we've got Troutman's Tuesday Trivia, so while I
right
pull
now?
Up the answer, while I pull up the answer, I want to know what else you had going this weekend. NBA, NHL, you know, we're still a couple of weeks away from the Belmont, the golf tournaments.
Both Post 52 and Renz are undefeated. They swept Norfolk. You know, the NBA, I think, Doug, when you're just talking about the NBA, that looks like you're right about the Pacers are not going to win that thing now. There's no doubt. They got that nice early win, but I think the Miami Heat are going to win. It looks to me that the other one could be wide open. That other side, San Antonio's not in that thing for sure. So, but I do like your Heat, the way they're playing.
Let's do it right now. It is Troutman's Tuesday Trivia, 888-455-3776, 888-455-3776, if you would like to be part of the show today. And if you haven't won in the last 2 months, you are eligible. A $25 gift card coming your way from Troutman's. So give us a buzz now at 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776. That is the phone number. Let's go to the phone lines. Who are we chatting with?
Weston.
Weston, how are you doing today, man?
Good, you?
Well, I survived Memorial Day weekend. Did you do anything exciting for Memorial weekend?
Oh, just a little yard work.
All right. Well, you probably got more accomplished than we did, right, Jimmy?
He actually definitely did more than I did.
Well, let's talk a little bit College World Series right here. College World Series. As we told you earlier in the show, Indiana is the first Big Ten team to ever garner a national seed under this format. Who was the last Big Ten baseball team to win the national title?
Michigan
is not it. Good guess. 888-455-ESPN. 888-455-3776. Who are we chatting with?
This is Dean.
Dean, do you know the last Big Ten team to win the National Baseball Championship?
I will guess Michigan State.
Not Michigan State. Two down. A few more to go. 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776. It is Troutman's Tuesday Trivia. Who are we chatting with?
Matt.
Matt, who's the last Big Ten team to win the National Baseball Championship?
Illinois.
It is not Illinois. Try back. 888-455-3776. Who are we chatting with? Chatting with nobody. We'll try line 27. Troutman's Tuesday Trivia continuing. Who are we chatting with?
Sam.
Sam, do you know the answer? Who's the last Big Ten team to win the National Baseball Championship?
Ohio State.
Do you know when it was?
I don't remember. I don't think I was born.
Oh, it was a long-ass time ago, 1966. Now, the Big Ten, Jimmy wrote down Minnesota. I thought we would have a Minnesota guess. I thought Michigan might be first, though, because they actually seem relevant here, lady. But Minnesota won it in 60, Michigan in 62, Minnesota in 64, but Ohio State in 66, the last to win the national championship out of the Big Ten. You are the smartest guy today, so hang on the line. Merritt will get you hooked up with your $25 Troutman's gift card. Congratulations. Doug and Daddy wrapping things up, and Jimmy, you're back sometime. You're taking Friday off. What's going on, man?
Oh,
you're going to be gone, huh?
Yeah, whatever I'm doing is not going to be really that important.
You're
but
gonna
yeah,
be gone.
Yes.
Well, hey, coming up later this week, Thursday, we're going to take the show over to Grand Island. We'll be at Bandit Sports Bar and Grill, inviting you out for a little lunch. We'll talk some Nebraska Danger football. We'll be keeping you up to date on the state golf tournament. That's coming up on Thursday's show. Tomorrow, our Loper Link kind of wraps up the year. We've got the UNK Blue Gold that's coming up. My goodness, can you believe it? That's already next Monday. So that's coming up at the golf courses around Awori Dunes, Kearney Country Club, and at Meadowlark Hills. Don't forget the state golf tournament going on at Kearney Country Club and Grand Island's Indian Head tomorrow and Thursday. Today, a lot of them will be out there with their practice rounds. So more on the NCAA baseball tournament, more on Cal State Fullerton, more on the Huskers as the week progresses. We do want to thank Phil Stanton from College Baseball Insider for joining us today. Dave Manerick, Executive Director of the Cornhusker State Games, and Randy Ahrens, Hastings St. Cecilia Golf Coach, for joining us from Lincoln. Jimmy Langan, have a great week.
You too.